leader of the Islamic Revolution warns against sectarian rift and Islamic awakening. Iran's president says enemy cannot harm Iran-Azerbaijan ties. Iran's parliament speaker says Iran is ready to mediate in Nagorno-Karabakh dispute. Iran's ambassador to IAEA says Zionist regime's nuclear arsenal threatens peace. And many people are killed and wounded in car bomb blasts in Iraq. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iran and English News with me, Nima Chitsaz. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has warned against enemy plots to turn Islamic awakening movements into sectarian and ethnic conflicts. During an opening speech at the Scholars and Islamic Awakening Conference in Tehran on Monday, Ayatollah Khamenei said, Western and Zionist intelligence services are seriously and relentlessly pursuing this plot with the help of petrodollars and traitorous politicians from the east of Asia to the north of Africa, and particularly in the Arab region. Referring to the situation in Libya, Tunisia, Syria, Pakistan, Iraq, and Lebanon, the leader said, the propaganda by the West and the mercenary and dependent regional media portrays the devastating war in Syria as a Shia-Sunni conflict, creating a safety margin for the Zionists and the enemies of the resistance movements in Syria and Lebanon. Ayatollah Khamenei pointed out that this is while the two sides of the conflict in Syria are the proponents and opponents of anti-Zionist resistance, not Shias and Sunnis. Ayatollah Khamenei underlined that instance on Islamic principles and people's presence in the scene are the two key and main factors that will neutralize all the enemy's plots, ploys, and deceit. He said Islamic awakening is a truth whose signs can be seen almost across the Muslim world, stressing the importance of defining a long-term goal for the Islamic awakening. Ayatollah Khamenei said, this final objective cannot be anything less than creating a brilliant Islamic civilization. The two-day Scholars on Islamic Awakening Conference International began in Iran's capital Tehran on Monday with the participation of nearly 700 clerics and scholars from Muslim and non-Muslim countries. Iran's president says enemies could never harm brotherly ties between the Islamic Republic of Iran and Azerbaijan. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made a remark on Monday during a meeting with the visiting secretary of Azerbaijan's National Security Council, Ramiz Mehdiyev. Ahmadinejad said, undoubtedly, because of the vigilance of the nations and governments of Iran and Azerbaijan, the enemies cannot harm the brotherly ties between the two countries. He noted that the enemies use ignorant people, media working for the West, and the intelligence services affiliated with the United States, the Zionist regime, and the West to damage relations between nations. The Iranian president underlined that today, the nation and government of Azerbaijan are moving on the path of progress, and the Islamic Republic supports this trend and considers it beneficial for both nations as well as regional nations. For his part, Mehdiyev said, the Republic of Azerbaijan considers the Islamic Republic a friend. He pointed out that Azerbaijan has to enhance its cooperation and has many facilities at its disposal for that purpose. Mehdiyev arrived in Tehran on Monday to meet with Iranian officials and discuss the Karabakh dispute between Azerbaijan and Armenia. The Speaker of Iran's parliament, Or Majlis, has stressed Tehran's readiness to mediate between Azerbaijan and Armenia in the Nagorno-Karabakh dispute. Also meeting the Secretary of Azerbaijan's National Security Council, Ali Larijani said, regional countries are capable of solving their problems through close cooperation. He said in this regard, the Islamic Republic of Iran stresses its readiness to contribute to the settlement of the Nagorno-Karabakh crisis. pointing to numerous cultural, religious, intergraphical commonalities between Iran and Azerbaijan. Vadijani described their relations as brotherly and friendly. The Iranian speaker also highlighted the significance of using the potentials of the two countries to develop bilateral political, economic, and cultural ties. Vadijani explained that the Iranian parliament supports any approach aimed at boosting cooperation and relations based on mutual respect and common interests. For his part, Mehdiyev said, Iran is a friend of Azerbaijan and there are deep historical bonds between the people and the nations. He warned against efforts by certain foreign countries to disturb friendly relations between Tehran and Baku, urging the consolidation of relations. The Azerbaijani official also welcomed Iran's efforts to help the settlement of the Nagorno-Karabakh dispute between Azerbaijan and Armenia. Iran's ambassador to the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, warns against the serious threat that the Zionist regime's nuclear arsenal poses to global peace and security. Addressing the second session of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, NPT Preparatory Committee in Geneva on Monday, Ali Asghar Soltania said, allowing the Tel Aviv regime to continue nuclear weapons production without any punishment would have serious and a series of consequences for regional and international peace and security. Soltania explained that as a responsible country that has no nuclear weapons and carries out merely peaceful nuclear activities, the Islamic Republic of Iran will remain completely committed to NPT objectives. The Iranian envoy pointed out that it is believed that full implementation of the Non-Proliferation Treaty without discrimination plays a fundamental role in promoting international peace and security. Renewing once again Iran's call for nuclear weapons disarmament based on the NPT regulations, Soltania said, nuclear countries should not cooperate with non-nuclear states or entities or non-signatories to the treaty. Soltania further criticized the U.S. for transferring hundreds of nuclear weapons to certain countries and stated that Washington has not been committed to its undertakings based on the NPT. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman has criticized the politicized and double standard approach of the U.S. toward the issue of human rights. Rami Mehmanparast said, the U.S. is one of the main violators of the most basic principles of human rights and international law, adding, it would be better for the U.S. government to be responsible for its human rights performance and instead of continuing with its wrong and repetitious behavior of accusing other countries. The Iranian official added the politicized approach and the adoption of double standards by the U.S. on human rights in the world is not a new issue and has turned into the political tradition for the country. Mehmanparast further highlighted numerous human rights violations by the U.S., including support for the terrorist Mujahideen Khalq organization and removing it from the list of terrorist groups, the establishment of illegal and extraterritorial detention centers, torture and human rights violations in Guantanamo prison, and the brutal massacre of civilians in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. In its annual human rights report released in April, the U.S. State Department accused countries such as Iran of clamping down on rights activists. He underlined that the abduction of citizens of other countries and illegal rendition flights violates against the immigrants, crackdown on anti-street protests, harassment of Muslims, racial discrimination, and the bad situation of prisoners in the U.S. are other instances of human rights violation by the U.S. Iraqi security officials say at least 36 people have been killed and dozens wounded in a series of car bomb blasts that hit the country. Officials say a total of 5 car bombs targeted mostly Shia cities and districts on Monday, injuring some 100 people. In the city of Amara, southeast of the capital, Baghdad, 2 car bombs went off simultaneously, which killed 12 people and wounded over 24. 3 car bombs detonated in Mahmoudiya, Karbala, and Divaniya, each causing a number of casualties. No group has claimed responsibility for the bomb attacks, which were the latest in a wave of violence that has killed nearly 230 people across Iraq over the past week. Now, Syrian Prime Minister Wael Nader al-Awlaki has survived an assassination attempt after bomb attacks targeted his vehicle downtown Damascus. The bombs were detonated in Al-Mazan neighborhood of the capital on Monday as Haqiqi's vehicle was passing through the area. Three bodyguards of the Syrian prime minister and the driver of the vehicle were killed in the blasts. In the meantime, more than 45,000 Syrian refugees have returned home since July 2012 from a refugee camp in northern Jordan as tensions subside in the war-torn country. A refugee camp official said over the past 9 months, 45,865 Syrian refugees have agreed to voluntarily leave the camp and return home. Officials declared that every day between 300 and 400 refugees expressed the desire to go back to Syria. The Russian foreign minister says attempts by the West to expand a UN probe into chemical weapons in Syria amounted to a pretext to intervene in the Syrian civil war. Sergei Lavrov made a remark in a news conference after a meeting with chairperson of African Union Commission, Dlamini Zuma. Lavrov confirmed that Russian stance on the Syrian issue is the same as before. Lavrov also warned Russian partners at the Security Council as well as any other country from intervening into the Syrian civil war by using chemical weapons as a pretext.
This position of Russia has prevailed within the framework of the Geneva meeting and it's stated in the Geneva agreement. Today, this position remains absolutely consistent as well. I would like to point out that more and more of our partners inclined and need to reject the preliminary conditions and search for practical resolution of Geneva agreements. There is not always a basis for these reports. I remember that in December last year, as it was reported near the city of Homs, chemical weapons were reportedly used. Then those reports were denied. Everyone has happily forgot about them. No one has ever presented any proof of those statements to anyone. There are probably governments and a number of external players who believe that in order to overthrow the Syrian government, all means are fine. But the theme of using weapons of mass destruction is too serious, and we shouldn't joke about it. To speculate about their geopolitical goals is not acceptable.
Meantime, Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari once again reiterated that his country supports all efforts to facilitate a peaceful solution to Syrian crisis. Talking to visiting Syria's Deputy Foreign Minister Faisal Miqdad in Karachi, Zardari said the democratic aspirations of the Syrian people through a comprehensive political dialogue should perpetually be met. Zardari said Pakistan firmly believes that Syria's territorial integrity and sovereignty must be respected. He further said, any outside interference would only complicate a complex situation and will have serious consequences for the neighboring countries. For his part, Syrian official appreciated Pakistan's efforts for a peaceful resolution to the Syrian issue. And that's a wrap for now. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.